Welcome to Patients at Risk, a discussion of the dangers that patients face when physicians are replaced with non-physician practitioners. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Bernard, and I'm the co-author of the book Patients at Risk and the author of the follow-up book Imposter Doctors. Today, I want to share a fascinating anecdote about what happens when we lose our professionality and our patient focus when we are debating scope of practice issues. I think it's a bit of a cautionary tale that we can all learn from. Recently, a state senator who is also a nurse practitioner sort of lost that professional edge when she was giving testimony. It seems like her frustration over an independent nurse practice bill being vetoed by the governor allowed her emotions to spill over, and she made some unprofessional and inappropriate comments that ended up backfiring on her mission. So here's a little background. Nurse practitioners have been advocating for independent practice since the 1990s, and about half the states in the union allow nurse practitioners to function without physician supervision. A state that has resisted independent practice up to this point is the state of Wisconsin. But thanks to efforts of legislators, including Rachel Cabral Guevara, this may be changing. Senator Cabral Guevara had previously served as a state representative for about a year and a half when she decided to run for an open Senate seat, which was vacated by Roger Roth, who left the office to run for lieutenant governor of Wisconsin. Before running for political office, Rachel Cabral Guevara worked as a family nurse practitioner. According to her website, she earned her bachelor's degree in nursing from the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, in 2004. 4 years later, she graduated with her master's degree in nursing from the University of Wisconsin. And following that graduation in 2008, she says that she worked in various practice settings as a family nurse practitioner within a community health center, at a student health center, and at an urgent care clinic. In 2014, she decided to open her own practice, and that's called Nurse Practitioner Health Services LLC, which is described as a cash-based practice. Now, she talks about how this practice is designed to offer affordable health care to patients, and it describes that she is able to serve patients throughout Wisconsin with telehealth and home health. Her website's pretty interesting because it's a cash-based clinic offering appointments for $95 in person in the office. Home visits are $250 plus mileage if it's more than 20 miles away. There are some general physicals like camp and sports physicals for $50. Telemedicine pricing is $99 to $156. I'm really interested as I review the lab prices because this is something that I offer in my direct primary care practice. And it looks like for a complete metabolic panel, she's charging $50. Just for reference, that is a good price when it comes to comparing it to maybe a hospital price. But in a direct primary care model like mine, a lab test like that would cost about $5. Similarly, she's charging $48 for a complete blood count. That's quite a bit higher than most direct primary care practices would charge, which is usually $4 or $5. But perhaps less expensive than going to a large group or maybe a hospital. So I do appreciate the transparency that I see on the pricing. I think that's always a very good thing. And I also notice on her website that she's very clear that she is a nurse practitioner. And also she's very clear on here that she does not have a physician on site. And in fact, it says on her website, although there is no physician on site, per state of Wisconsin laws, we do have access to and collaborate with a physician if needed. So even though she is reassuring patients that she would be able to contact a physician if she had any questions or concerns, Senator Cabral Guevara has been a big part of the push to remove the requirement for a collaborating physician. Senate Bill 394 was introduced in 2021, and Representative Cabral Guevara was one of the co-sponsors of that bill. This was before she became a senator. The law would have allowed full practice authority for nurse practitioners in Wisconsin, and according to reports, it would have allowed nurses with at least 3,840 clinical hours working under a doctor or dentist to obtain a new type of advanced license, allowing them to practice autonomously of physicians. Cabral Guevara participated in an interview with PBS News where she discussed her rationale for this new law. In the interview with journalist Frederica Freyberg, Senator Cabral Guevara says that there's strong research that nurse practitioners can do a great job practicing autonomously. She argues that there are many other states that do this, and quote, the outcomes have been absolutely amazing. Now, she doesn't cite any of those outcomes data, and I would argue, based on my research, that there is no data on nurse practitioners practicing autonomously. In fact, there's a really serious paucity of that data, especially considering that there are states that have allowed independent practice since the 1990s, like out in Oregon and Alaska. But she, of course, like many advocates for independent practice, simply makes the blanket statement that autonomous nurse practitioners do just fine. In fact, one of the arguments that she makes about this is she says that states that have allowed independent practice have not seen any, quote, increase in concern or litigation. Not sure about that. Perhaps not a lot of data on independent practice, but we absolutely are seeing an increase in litigation. And you'll hear about that in a future podcast episode, which reviewed data recently released by a malpractice company that specializes in insuring nurse practitioners. And they found that nurse practitioner-owned clinics had a significant increase in malpractice settlements. But Senator Cabral Guevara makes the point that it's very difficult for nurse practitioners to find collaborating physicians, or that some of these physicians are moving to different locations. They have non-compete contracts, and therefore they can't continue to work with nurse practitioners, and that puts them in a difficult situation. It's really interesting because in this interview, she talks about having an ex-husband who is a physician and that he was not able to work as a collaborating physician because of a non-compete that he had in the state of Wisconsin. So her argument in favor of independent practice for nurse practitioners is to increase access for Wisconsin patients because it's very difficult for nurse practitioners to find collaborating physicians because they have to pay collaborating physicians, which can become a burden, and because she says that there's really no reason why they shouldn't be able to do this type of practice, that the evidence shows that it's safe and effective. And her argument was persuasive. In fact, this bill did pass the legislature. However, it was vetoed in April of 2022 by Governor Tony Evers, who wrote that he objected to altering current licensure standards for nurse practitioners and allowing practices to function equivalently to those of physicians, or potentially omitting physicians from a patient's care altogether, notwithstanding significant differences in required education, training, and experience. Now, this veto created a great amount of outrage. In fact, the chair of the Wisconsin Board of Nursing, Peter Callio, actually resigned from his position over this veto. And in a letter that was dated May 3rd, 2022, he wrote that, quote, all research points to the fact that advanced practice nurses are safe and have the same patient outcomes as their physician counterparts. Of course, those of you who have read Patients at Risk and Imposter Doctors know that these type of blanket statements are really lacking nuance, which is to say that yes, they're safe and can have good outcomes, but that's when they are practicing under physician supervision. What Peter Callio went on to say was that the veto appeared politically motivated to appease a small group of doctors who want to dictate nursing practice. And for that reason, he says that the Board of Nursing is ineffective. He can no longer continue in his capacity as the chairman or as a member of the Board of Nursing. Now, it wasn't only Peter Calio who was extremely disappointed and upset with Governor Evers. Rachel Cabral Guevara, who by now had become a state senator, was also very disappointed in this decision, so much so that she had some things to say about it. On November 15th, 2023, she testified about her concerns in front of the Assembly Committee on Health, Aging, and Long-Term Care, and she made some concerning comments. It seems that she targeted lobbyist Mark Grappentine, who works for the Wisconsin Medical Society, and she seemed to hold him personally responsible for Governor Evers' veto of this nurse practitioner bill. So take a listen to what she has to say in this audio from Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network, which is a nonprofit state capital broadcast organization that functions sort of like C-SPAN to give you access to events that are happening in the capital. So here is Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara.
And all due respect to Governor Evers, it's not just Governor Evers. Governor Evers just didn't come out and say, nurse practitioners. There are other people that have impacted his decision when it came to that veto message. So in all due respect, I would like to say one particular individual that I hold near and dear to my heart is here today, and I'm looking forward to hearing his testimony. If anybody is looking for a great lobbyist, I would say Mark Grappentine is the man that you would like to, hire. Well-spoken, coy, chooses words beautifully. Great personality, Mark. You know I love you. But on that same note, if I ever had to hire a lobbyist, that is the individual that I would give my money to, because he has made quite an impact down in Governor Evers' office. I've seen that in the campaigns that were ran, the money that was put against people that support this bill. And I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed.
So the senator is making it very clear that she thinks that the lobbyist had a lot to do with this veto, and I guess that's reasonable to say, but at this point, her comments take a bit of a darker turn. Take a listen.
Mark's one of Mark's like one of those patients that I go into the room and put in an IV, but I miss. Gotta be honest, Mark, I don't feel bad if I missed. And I might go back to that storage room and, I don't know, we gotta get more supplies. We gotta get the IV in, Mark. I don't know, we could go 18, 16, 14. But we'll get that IV there, Mark.
So for our non-medical audience that is listening, the senator is making a joke that she accidentally misses getting placing an intravenous line or an IV into the patient, and maybe the joke is that she missed on purpose, or that if it was an accident, a legitimate accident, that she doesn't feel badly about it because she doesn't really like him very much. So ordinarily, she would feel bad about missing an IV. And then when she talks about going back to the supply room, because now she has to get new supplies since she wasn't able to succeed the first time, and she's selecting what size needle she's going to use, she's thinking maybe instead of using the smallest needle, which would be less painful, she's picking through to perhaps may get the largest needle, which will be the most painful. But of course, the joke is not that she's doing it on purpose, but that's just what it's going to take to get this IV, and she'll get it done. So it's definitely not a type of remark you would expect from someone that's supposed to show empathy and professionality. And you can hear now that the committee chair is becoming a bit concerned about these comments.
Senator, we get the point. Can you wrap it up
pretty
quick here?
So I'll just sum it up real quick. I'm asking for folks here today, unlike myself, to provide a short testimony, because I know that you've been here for a long time, and having sat on these committees, you get tired at this time of the day, so keep it short. I ask when you're done that you go and you ask for the specifics of that veto. Give me the details. We are evidence-based practice. I want some evidence based on that veto of why we did not get this passed through last session. And as a nurse practitioner myself, if there are any particular questions for me, I would love to answer any that people might have. And then I will step away because I'm done venting now. But it's 13 years, and I've only had the pleasure of holding three of those. Questions for me.
Do we have questions for Senator RCG?
At this point, there's a call for questions, and Representative Barb Dietrich has a comment to make.
Representative Dietrich.
Senator?
Yes.
You're a mother, are you not?
I sure am a mom. Four beautiful children.
How do you give me ulcers.
How
have you responded when your children throw tantrums?
Well, we sit down, we talk about it, we work through it, we look at both sides, and then we pull that conclusion together. We use that in nursing. It's called ADPI.
Senator, I'm just going to tell you, I'm on this bill.
Yes, ma'am.
I was on it last time.
Yes.
I think the way you have behaved and talked about doing venipuncture is a disgrace to your profession.
Well, I'm sorry you
feel
that way.
And I will be pulling my name off this legislation.
I'm sorry you feel that way, Barb. But it's also disgraceful that after all of these years of working together with groups, supposedly together, that hasn't been the case, Barb. That hasn't been the case. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. Other questions?
Do we have any other questions from committee? Hearing none. Thank you, RCG.
Thank you very much for allowing us to be heard once again here today.
This response from Representative Dietrich was really unexpected and shocking, and a lot of viewers have called it instant karma, and maybe there's something to be said for that. But I think even more importantly, it's a really powerful reminder to all of us as we're having these discussions regarding scope of practice, that we always need to retain our focus on what's important, which is patient care. We're having these discussions because we are fighting for what's best for patients. In this case, Senator Cabral Guevara, I'm sure, is fighting for what she thinks is best for patients. And as physicians who are advocating for physician-led care, we believe that when physicians remain as part of the medical team, that patients get the best care. But regardless of which side of the argument we're on, if we lose that professional focus and that patient focus, it totally backfires on us and totally detracts from our mission. Really, we do need to remember, even when we feel a sense of righteous indignation, and a lot of times we do feel that way. I know for me, when I think about the years of sacrifice, the hours and hours of dedicated study, and just everything that it took for me to become a physician. And then someone comes along and says, but you didn't need to do that. You could just have taken this shortcut. You could have done online training. You could have just shadowed somebody, and you could just be just as good without going through all of that. I know that's not true, but even so, it creates like a visceral reaction in me. And I find myself, you know, getting angry and wanting to respond sometimes in a negative way because it does feel so hurtful. And I think a lot of physicians feel that way. And I think that's also especially the case when we see patients being harmed because they are being cared for by a clinician that really, truly does not have the knowledge or experience to give the right care. Even though we may feel that way, and that's a totally justifiable emotion, when we're having these conversations, we need to keep them professional, we need to keep them patient-focused, and just remind legislators and others that we're not here because of a turf war. We're not trying to protect our pocketbook or try to keep other people from having market share, because the reality is there's a physician shortage. There's plenty of patients to go around, so it's not about that. What it is about is the fact that we truly believe, based on our years of study and experience, and what the data shows, is that it takes that 10 or 15,000 hours of dedicated study to even begin to practice medicine safely and effectively. And the data out there just does not show that shortcuts work. Yes, nurse practitioners and physician assistants can provide great care as members of a physician-based care team or when following physician-created protocols. That's what the studies show over and over again. There is not data showing the same level of care when physicians are removed from the equation. So thanks so much for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to learn more, then please get the books Patients at Risk and the follow-up book Imposter Doctors. Those are both available at Amazon or at barnesandnoble.com. If you're a physician, please join our advocacy group. It's called Physicians for Patient Protection. Our website is physiciansforpatientprotection.org. If you'd like to be on the podcast or you have a suggestion for a topic, please message me through the website patientsatrisk.com. Thanks so much, and we'll see you on the next podcast.